and in the systems and traditions that are there, that have been there for generations. It's very hard to fight it. And somehow the sufficiency of Christ and the centrality of Christ is not strong enough to help us to resist the influences of our culture and our traditions and the way our parents brought us up in the Christian religion, and not necessarily in the gospel religion, but in the Christian religion. And the book of Colossians, which I've been going through, and coincidentally, you all have been going through in chapel, and you all have finished chapter 2, I'm in the middle of chapter 2, at my local church, is so full of Christ. This epistle leaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find, for instance, even in the opening verses of Colossians, to the saints, verse 2, and faithful brethren in Christ. In other epistles you might say, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it's in Christ. And there in the middle of chapter 1, he talks about in verse 13 onwards, God the Father has qualified us to be partakers, etc., etc. And God the Father has delivered us up from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. So God the Father has put us into the kingdom of His Son, the Lord Jesus, the Son of His love. So the Father loves the Son. And we have redemption. We have been bought back, redemption. In your soteriology, you've learned that redemption, the word means to purchase with a price, and purchase back through His blood. It's through Christ. And then from verse 15, there is that great Christological passage about who Christ is. And it is not His attributes, but His person, from verse 15 to verse 18. And then that astounding statement in verse 19, it pleased the Father. I hope you get the full impact of that. The Father, Yahweh, God Himself, was very, very pleased, happy. And it was in accordance with His joy, not only His will, but His joy, that in Christ, all the fullness of deity should be in Christ. And through Christ, you know, salvation, reconciliation, the hostility has ceased, reconciliation. There's so much rich soteriology also in this passage. And we have been reconciled. And then we come to this conditional statement in verse 23. If indeed, have you got it in your English translations? If indeed,
yes,
it's conditional. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, not moved away. I hope you see three statements there. Grounded, steadfast, not moved away. Three statements to emphasize the need to be fixed, stable. There's no negotiating and turning away from the gospel which you heard. And then from verse 24 to the end of chapter 1, he's talking about his struggles, his sufferings, and his stewardship. in the gospel. You see that in verse 24, sufferings, afflictions of Christ. He talks about verse 25, the stewardship from God, to fulfill the word of God, to explain the mystery, verse 26, which God made a will to make known, which are the riches of the glory of the mystery. And what is that mystery? For what is he suffering? What stewardship of the gospel is he fulfilling? What is the mystery of the gospel that God will to be made known? The riches of the glory of this mystery. All those praises culminate in this, that it is Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Now, you've gone through all these in your chapel series, but it's good to be confronted by it again. Not just reminded, but confronted by it. You know, hit hard by it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't shift from Christ. Get enraptured by Christ. Get captivated by Christ. Be in Christ firm. And then verse 28, the classic verse of ministry goal, Him we preach. He is the subject of our preaching, warning or counseling every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature or perfect in
Christ.
It's all about Christ. It's not only just generally God. And I can't know God. It's impossible to know God and be in relationship to God without Christ. So get captured by Christ. And then he says in verse 29, I labor to this end. What's the whole purpose of my laboring? And it's a kuli word, it's a toil word, sweat and dust, straining every muscle. I labor, striving according to the working, his working, which he works in me mightily. Strong words, many words, just in one verse, 29, about all the power of labor that goes into ministry to make Christ central in the life of the believers and to make believers mature in Christ. And he carries on with that same idea in the chapter 2. I want you to know, and not only the Colossians but the Laodiceans, how much I struggle and strive and am in conflict. Strong words. I don't hear BDS alumni, or even BDS students talking about ministry as conflict. I'm having conflict in my heart. I'm really struggling. This is hard, sweaty, toil, painful work. There's a fight going on in me. And what's it all about, ministry struggles? I agonize. He's using that word also, to make Christ real to every believer. See, in verse 2, the hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, attaining to all the riches and full assurance of understanding in the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all what? The treasures. I mean, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you treasure? Where will Christ? The treasures of knowledge and wisdom in Christ. And so he gets to this big concern that he is putting before and confronting Colossian believers with. Verse 4. I don't want anyone I'm saying all this so that no one should deceive you with persuasive words. Even if I'm absent or present, that's why I want to see you in good order, steadfast in your faith in Christ. Verse 6 and 7, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Him? Verse 6, how did you receive Him? You received Him as the Lord. It says that. You received Jesus Christ the Lord. How should you continue in Him? As the Lord, sovereign, deity, in charge. He better be enthroned in your heart, rooted and established and built up in Him, as you were taught. So the idea, the first idea I want to bring to your minds this chapel hour is what he says in verse 4 and verse 8. I say this lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Verse 4. Verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you. Are you getting it? I mean, I'm saying all this, says the Apostle Paul. I'm presenting Christ before you. You receive Christ the Lord. Continue in Him. Let Him be your treasure, because in Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Beware, lest you get deceived. After all said and done, after you've learned everything, after you've started with Christ, and you are so clear about who Christ is, and how full He is, and how complete He is, I'm warning you. Don't let anyone take you away from Christ. And I hope you understand from the words used in verse 4 and verse 8. And then all the things that can take you away from Christ are very powerful, persuasive. See, persuasive words, verse 4. Beware. It means don't ever think you are smart or good enough or strong enough or mature enough. Don't ever put your guard down. This can happen to you at any stage of your life, even if you become very, very mature and you have all the degrees and you have all the knowledge and you have preached millions of sermons and to hundreds and thousands of people and you've done ministry for 100 years. I warn you. Out there, where you are, and in your heart, in your own pride, you can get away from Christ. It's persuasive words. You know, if they are persuasive words, they can persuade you. If you have to hear the word in verse 8, beware, that means you can be taken away from Christ. You know, in John chapter 10, there are two statements I want you to be aware of Jesus in this context. One is in John chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1, where Jesus said that anyone who does not enter through the sheepfold, into the sheepfold, through the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. In that same chapter 8, chapter 10, sorry, verse 8 to 10. What did Jesus say? Anyone comes before me, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and that abundant life. I hope you realize Jesus didn't apologize to say everyone outside of Jesus Christ is a thief and a robber. So everything else that attracts you and can take you away from Christ is a thief and a robber. There's only salvation in Christ, but there's also satisfaction only in Christ. It's not enough just to get saved. As you receive Jesus the Lord, Christ the Lord, verse 6 of chapter 2, so continue in Him as the Lord. You never stop. You never stop only with salvation, only with beginning, and only with salvation. You must continue in Him as what? In the same way as you started with Him, the Lord. And it's not the Savior and the one who always answers your prayer and heals you and gives you whatever you want, who meets your needs. He is the Lord. The Lord is in charge of my life. And there's only one attitude that I need to have before the Lord, and that is obedience. Not give me, but what must I do? What must I do? Obedience. I want to know your will and do it. Not please help me. It's a very basic discipleship. Please help me. Please meet my needs. Please answer my prayers. We have to graduate to that maturity where every day we are conscious that as we received Him, the Lord, so we continue in Him, the Lord. Because in Him all the fullness of God dwells. He is the Lord by virtue of who He is, being God in fullness. And He dwells in me in fullness. Colossians says, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are, He is, in Him is the completeness of God, and you are complete in Him. Did you get through all that? You're complete in Him. Beware. Now, beware. Lest you get diverted from Him. And I've seen almost every alumni of PTS diverted from Christ, becoming a hero of ministry. I'm planning a church, I'm doing this, and wow, 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 wow. That is diversion from Jesus. No doubt in my mind. Because it's not glorying in Christ, it's glorying in what you are doing for Christ. And in heaven, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I have done this and that in your name. I don't know you. Remember, ministry is not what takes you to heaven. And even those who are saved by grace and are guaranteed of going to heaven, who glory in their ministry, Christ is not pleased. Christ is only pleased when I glory in Him. Plus, nothing. Distractions from Christ are very, very captivating. And I love that basic foundational parable. What is the basic foundational parable of the kingdom that Jesus spoke? The parable of the four soils. It's not four types of seed. The seed was all the same. The sower was also the same. The soil was different. And three out of four soils are hellbound. Only the good soil is okay. But remember the third soil. The third soil is not caught up in sin. If you turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, Jesus himself is interpreting that soil, the thorns. The seed fell among the thorns. As for them, they are those who hear. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Those who hear and they heard, right? And as they go on their way, they are choked by sin. Is it saying sin? They choked by what? Cares, right? Cares. And all of you carry cares, right? Especially when you go back. How will I meet my children's needs and my wife's needs and ration and housing, rent and electricity? So I need money, sir. How long I have to, therefore we do all this ministry, ignorant and whatever else. Yes, I'm so worried. I'm burdened. Wives also become contributors to this soil. Many man has been taken away from Christ because of wife. So should you beat up your wife? No. Both husband and wife have to be caught up with Christ. Are you captivated by Christ? Is he your only desire, as well as your soul's heart's desire? Christ. The cares of this world, Luke 8:14. And then what? The pleasures of life. Besides the anxieties and worries of life, right? Now I'm getting old. You know, what's going to happen? Who look after me? I have to say, see, where is Christ in all this discussion, in worry? I'm not doing adultery or murder. I'm not lying. This is Pastor Chris. This is real. Of course it is real. But this is what Christ says chokes the word. Yes. Then the pleasures of life. After I finish worrying, I must have KFC sometimes at least, sir. At least I must buy a laptop. At least I must have some apps. At least I must have some one trip at least to USA. At least I must have some funding. At least I must have some pleasure. That special rocket dosa. Some pleasure. Some fun. Nice house. So, pleasures doesn't mean, you know, you're just having a lot of entertainment. It's just, worldliness is not having all riches. It's just some little bit of enjoyment. What does it do? Chokes the word. That's what Jesus says. And then what? Thirdly, their fruit does not. What does it say?
It's not mature.
Fruit is trying to come out. I'm trying to serve the Lord only. But it's not ripening only. It's just drying up. This is not Christian. This is not pleasing the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, no man can serve. In Luke chapter 18, verse 35, it is hard for a rich man to enter. Jesus said it is hard. I have no right to make it easy for the rich man. And I have lots of rich men in my church. And I can see how they get distracted from Jesus. And just because they give big offering is not necessarily that they are really following Jesus. in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there's a great example of a man called Demas. You know, chapter 4, verse 10 of 2 Timothy, Demas. He was very involved in the ministry. Then what happened? He deserted. How many PTS alumni have deserted? You know some of them. I know some of them. They've left. Or they got into more ministry, not because they want to do ministry, but because they need the income. They themselves tell me, sir, some honorarium, some love gives me. And especially if we have a foreign trip, no? We get a little bit more respect. Big shots. Demas deserted. What was the reason? He was in
love
with with this present world. I mean, what was the world in that first century? What was the world in the 21st century? If Demas was in this 21st century world, he would be shocked. We are much more full of this present world. Even pastors have 2-3 mobile phones. Or SIM cards. This life, careers, family, growth, love gifts, more degrees, more travel, more glamour, more getting into that big shot level takes us away from loving Jesus Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Whom dwells in the fullness of Christ, and he fills me. So beware. I warn you. Be careful. You might get distracted by persuasive words or world. You are responsible. That's the idea. You are responsible. And you have to realize that distractions can take you, even you, away. Don't ever think you are safe or you are better than somebody else who gets distracted. What are these distractions in Colossians? What is mentioned in verse 8? Philosophy and empty deceit. And you've dealt with it, right? The word philosophy in the Greek is used only once in the whole New Testament, this word. And it's empty deceit. Can you imagine all the things that we have in terms of our worldviews, our ideas, This world is full of ideas. And some of you coming from vernacular background may not have the terminology that English speaking Indians have. But we talk about New Age movement, we talk about feminism, we talk about homosexuality and LGBT rights. Article 377 of the Indian Constitution. Even by law, we have changed sinful behavior. Bible has clearly said homosexuality, LGBT is not Christian, it's not pleasing to God, it is sin. Even the Supreme Court changes the law so that sin is endorsed now as okay. This was existing in those days. I hope you know Greek culture had homosexuality, had New Age Hindu philosophical ideas in Greek gods and goddesses. everything that is in the 21st century in some measure was there. And all those things used to attract. You know what Paul is saying? Ideas can distract you from Christ. Ideas. And where do ideas come from? Man. And man has the ability to have ideas. And we call it in simple terms, opinions. You have your own opinion, right? And Christ has his opinion. Whose opinion are you going to follow? Christ's or yours? Even in so-called Christian opinions and ministry opinions. And he calls them all empty deceit. Look at it. It's deceit. You know what deceit is? What is deceit? It's a lie that is captivating. It's a lie that is almost convincingly covered like truth. So that not only can somebody else deceive me, but I can deceive myself. And the Spirit of God helps Paul to put the word empty before this word deceive. The description of deceive. This convincing lie has nothing in it. And nothing in it doesn't mean that it has no words and no ideas in it. They are persuasive words, remember that. But they have no value. It's similar to what Ecclesiastes says, you know, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. It doesn't mean there is nothing. But there is no real eternal meaning in those deceits. Look at the source of these ideas, opinions. Where are they from? Verse 8. Tradition. You know tradition of men? Bhakti Singh tradition, PTS tradition, DCC tradition, John MacArthur's tradition, Piper's tradition. That's how our ancestors did it, that's how we will do it. They are good traditions. They are good traditions. They are bad traditions. But if they are man-made traditions, we have to compulsory to filter them through Christ. Is it of any value to know Christ more? Any of these traditions. I have to stand and sing a song. I have to do the sign of the cross. I have to wear certain uniforms. I have to sit men this side, women this side. The women have to cover their head. We have to have long prayers, no short prayers. We have to say at the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, Amen. We have to say the Lord's Prayer. At the end, there must be a benediction. You must put your hand up and give benediction. All traditions of men, right? There must be 3 sermons. There must be worship sermon, exhortation sermon, table sermon. Who made these rules? Has it any value to know Christ? If it has no value to know Christ, and I'm doing it because some elders will get angry, and my father is sitting there, he's handing over the ministry to me, and I'm doing it so that he will be happy, and he won't throw me out, then I'm not in Christ. I'm in the tradition of man. Are you getting it? According to the verse still, according to the basic elements or principles of this work, basic elements. And those basic elements are, you know where? In demons. and superstitious practices. Practices that bring fear. Or are through the element of fear. You have to be afraid, therefore you do it. Otherwise, God will punish me, whichever God. Astrology, fearing the dead, referring to gurus and prophets who tell you the future. Maybe even use psychotropic drugs to tell you the future. Kumbh Mela is going on. I hope you see some of the scenes there. The Nanga sadhus, they don't wear anything. And they're full of ash. And they're smoking pot. Do you know that? And the government of India has given crores to help them do it. And it's the Maha something Kumbha. And foreigners are passing. That's all given to the basic elemental principles of this world, rites and customs. But we adopt them into Christian forms in Nepal, in Andhra Pradesh, in Telangana, in Maharashtra, wherever. The whole Indian church is full of superstitious practices, even among born-again Christians. You know, even the very fact that cover the Bible, don't keep it on the ground, your feet should not touch the ground. I mean, we should respect the Bible, but some of it is superstition. If it falls down, then we, you know, even if it falls down by mistake, sorry God, I dropped your holy word. Now K.P. Anand has become very, not only Episcopal, but very Orthodox, become the Eastern Believer's Church. He wears all these uniforms. And I was watching his service, I still haven't finished because I'm 1.5 hour consecration service. But chanting and he's got this wooden cross and he keeps doing all this kind of thing each time. And every time he says, you know, the Holy Son of God, the Holy Jesus Christ, the Holy... I mean, you have to... And then the tone of voice. Is it helping to know Christ? What are we doing? Causing some sort of fear, atmospheric sense of who God is. Let everyone be silent. Holy, holy, you know, sounds better than holy, holy. We make up all this. And Christ becomes less. Are you getting it? So what am I saying? PTS graduates, PTS present students, some about to graduate. Has Christ captivated you? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Are you allowing anything to distract you? The cares, the pleasures, so that your fruitfulness will not mature. And any wine, John chapter 15, that does not bear fruit, he cuts off, throws into the fire. So, I want to give you a few examples of those who were captivated by God in Christ. But before I give you those examples, I want to say two areas where we need to get very consciously captivated by Christ. One is in our sin area. When I sin, I need to be captivated not by my sin, but by Christ, against whom I have sinned and who forgives me, because he has already paid the price. And David is a great example in that. You know, in Psalm 51. Verse 4, I've sinned, Lord, against the only Christ-centered repentance.
I sin against thee. It's not I got caught, I'm embarrassed, I'm put to shame. I've sinned against thee. Please cleanse me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, or your salvation. So Christ said, another area is my growth in Christ. Not just my sanctification. See, I can be bothered about being sanctified, but am I really growing in love with Jesus? And Psalm 27 is an example, not the end of the story. There's so much in the scriptures, but Christ-centered growth, not just for my sanctification. In Psalm 27, one thing have I asked for, that will I seek after. Verse 4. That I may behold, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. For what? To behold the beauty of the Lord. You have said, seek ye my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, O Lord, I will seek. Psalm 42, what did the psalmist do? He said, as the deer pants for the water brook, so long is not so, O God, for thee. I want to grow in getting enraptured. Christ. I'm not wanting to grow for my own holiness. I want to be thrilled with you. I want to see you, Lord. And you know what Paul says? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, as we behold him, we will be transformed to be like him from one degree of glory to another. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Just my sanctification is so selfish. It's not about Christ, it's about me. I didn't say anything about ministry. I care to hoots about ministry. I don't care about ministry. I'm not interested in ministry, I never was. Somebody recently asked me, how did you start? I have no idea. I really don't have any. I was following Jesus. And I have learned one thing, you know, the Spirit of God is moving and blessing. And wherever the Spirit of God, there is blessing. Wherever Jesus is, there is blessing. Stand in the middle of the flow of blessing. And you know what will happen? You'll become a blessing. You know, for me, ministry is being a blessing. Am I blessing somebody else? Is someone else blessed by me? I'm just giving someone a recommendation, and that person is a senior pastor. He said, Chris, I don't want to disappoint you. I said, I don't care. I don't care. All I care is to be a blessing to you, and then you follow Christ. And if you don't, he'll deal with you. So now examples, very quickly. Moses. Exodus chapter 33. You read from verse 12 to 23. But you read all of 33 and 34 and you get the whole story, the whole context. What do you say? Lord, if you do not go with me, do not send me. I want your presence to go with me. Okay? I want your presence to go with me. If your presence is not with me, I don't want to go. You know, I want to, in a very tangible way, know your presence with me. I'm not talking just about feelings, emotions. I'm talking about a reality. Is Christ with me, even as I'm preaching now? Do I sense His presence? Otherwise, it's bakwas. Really. I'm doing ding, 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 singing a song, leading worship, and it's all bluffology. Christ is not real to me as I'm doing that. How can the blessing flow out of my life if I'm not being blessed as I'm being used to be blessing? go with me, show me your glory. That was Moses, chapter 33 of Exodus. Show me your glory. And God said, I will. You know, God didn't say, you'll die. He did say that. I'll show you a little bit. If I show you everything, you'll die. I'll show you. Second person, Isaiah. I always used to wonder. Chapter 1 is usually where it starts, no? It should start. But it's in chapter 6 that actually the real story starts of Isaiah. After 5 chapters, Isaiah records his call. And how does it begin? I saw the Lord. And I was finished. See, he says, I was feeling damned. I was feeling I should be in hell. Then he cleansed me. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Chapter 6 of Isaiah. I have another. You know the mother of Jesus, Mary? She was captivated by herself. She got pregnant without a man. What? What is happening? And the angel of the Lord told her, this is the Holy One of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That which is born of you is of God, the Son of God. He was born. Shepherds came. Angels came. Magi came. Herod chased them. What did Mary do? It says about Mary, she pondered. She kept reflecting on her son and the wonder of the grace of God in her life. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. I'm willing to be made ashamed. All her life, she bore the shame of being the mother of that child. Out of wedlock, she pondered. And then she saw him leave the house, crowds following him. Even she couldn't get to meet him often. And he would say things like, woman, what have I to do with you? John chapter 2, the wedding of Cana. He would say, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? He that does the will of my father. And she saw him being scourged and beaten and bleeding, carrying the cross. And she saw him shamefully hanged on the cross. And she waited because she was enraptured by her son, who was her Lord. There was another Mary, the sister of Lazarus, in Luke chapter 10, verses 39 to 42. A busy sister had many things that she was doing in ministry. I'm doing it all for Jesus. Martha, you have many things. You're so busy. But Mary has chosen to sit at my feet and be captivated. And no one will steal that from her. There was another Mary. Maybe the same Mary. Mary Magdalene. And she was in Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. shift that fragrant oil, right? And weeping, so that there were not tears to wipe the feet of her master. She anointed his feet. What did Jesus say? In the story from verse 40 onwards, right up to the end of that passage. She was forgiven much. And she was forgiven much. And she loves much. See, it's not about she serves much. She loves much. Are you in a relationship with Christ, which is love? Or are you in an activity, contract, connection with Christ to serve Him? There was Mary Magdalene. I think of her in John chapter 21, verse 1, verse 11, verse 16, verse 18. Mary. Jesus had risen, she didn't know. And she's waiting at the tomb, right? So Jesus comes. What a privilege. She had first sight of the resurrected Christ. Rabboni. Master. I've seen him. I mean, can you imagine how much he was captivated by Christ? And then the Apostle Paul, chapter 3 of Philippians, I want to know him. You know the word know? Always, in scripture use, is intimacy. I want to know him. What about you? Are you making many commitments? I've told my church, stop using the word commitment. You make so many commitments, it's all possible. You make a commitment and you forget your commitment. Then another revival meeting, another church camp, another some strong message, commitment. I will commit to serve, I will commit to pray, I will commit to have my quiet time, I will commit to go to the ends of the earth, all Father. Change from making commitments to getting captivated by Christ. And when you really get captivated by Christ and you love Him, you don't have to say, I'm committed to you. You got captivated, right, Vijay? And I was told, you don't leave her side. When you get captivated by Jesus Christ, you won't leave her side. Keep on being captivated by your wife. And then together, get captivated by Jesus Christ. You won't leave her side. You won't deny Him. You won't betray Him. Therefore, after He rose from the dead, Jesus told Simon Peter, come. And He asked him what? Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Not are you committed to me? Not will you betray me again? Will you love me? Do you really love me? Lord, you know how much I love you. Then go feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Our Father, we thank you. That you, the God of the universe, give us the privilege of loving you. And you
gave us Jesus in time and space and in reality so that we can study his life. He made you visible so that we can understand who we love. What a loving Savior who loved us, gave himself for us, and we can love him. So Lord, we want and we will love him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that song.